you for the comfort of the Holy Spirit, Father, that you just comfort them and strengthen them. And Lord, I just give you glory for it, and I give you praise. And I thank you for ministering to him and his family. And I give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, life is a pretty wonderful thing. I'm going to just take some time this morning just to share a little bit of my heart and what's been in it. Because before I give my heart to Jesus, because I lived both sides of the spectrum. Like, I lived life without God, and I've lived it with God. And I never really wanted to be a minister or a pastor or doing what I'm doing. I don't do this so people can say, "Hi, Pastor John," or "Hi, Reverend John," or, you know, it's not, because I enjoy running excavators and doing that. Like when people ask me what I, like people that don't know me, ask me what I do, I said, I'm a landscaper, and I work with the church and help a church out. And, you know, my son was with me last week, and I was working for some pretty wealthy people. And he said, we were just talking, because we were just doing the, down in the estates on Jack's Lake, just working there all week. And he said, and I just said, no, I'm a Christian. And Josh looked at me like, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because there's two reasons. Because when I was without God or serving God, I was really empty, bottom line. And I'm a very competitive kind of person. And what I mean by that is this. When I give my heart to Jesus, it was everything, like everything that I actually wanted in life was just peace, fulfillment, and I didn't know. I was looking for it, and, you know, more money, more bikes, more this, more, and because I didn't really know what I was looking for. When I found Jesus, it just sort of give you that peace, and it just give you that comfort, it just give you that strength, it just give you what you needed. And so then, as a Christian, and then my competitive is, I want to be everything God wants me to be. And I want him to be in me everything. And in order to receive from God, because I shared a little bit about this on Wednesday night, about, I've talked to so many people in the last while that are Christian people or non-Christian people, and they don't understand. Because I've had people say to me, you know, where's God, you know, in the world? Or where's God in your life? Or, you know, how come I'm going through this, all this stuff? And because the Bible says, in the world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And I wanted to start here in the Old Testament, because today we have a different covenant than we did in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, and I'm just going to go, I'm going to read it. And I'm going to take time. My heart is that people get it. Because you know what? I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't believe that God was real. I've been serving God way longer now than I was when I was without God, because it's real. I've seen it in my life. I've seen how he's added to my life. He's given me the desires of my heart with my family. God has given me peace. He's given me a purpose in life. Like, other than just going to work and then you make money, you pay bills. Like, there's got to be more to life than just, and it can be a purpose. And it's to help people, to make a difference in people's lives. Because we're only here for a short time. And you just know that. Like, I mean, 100 years or 120 years or 80 years or 90 years is not very long in the light of eternity. And we only got so much time to make a difference in life. And serving God is the big thing. It's huge. And that doesn't mean, like, jumping up and down and singing down the road. And I mean, we all live normal lives. It means inviting Jesus to be a part of your life. And then with that, everything else is just completely added. So turn to Deuteronomy with me, because the big question that I have, and it really bothers me as a minister, because I remember the first 6 years that I was a pastor, I tried to fix people's lives. Like, I would take people all over. When people were sick, I wanted them to get healed. So I'd take people, and I realized that people really didn't want to be fixed as much as I wanted them to be fixed. I would pay people's bills. Ask my wife. We didn't even have a lot of money. And we would take our money, we would pay their hydro bill, I wanted them to have their bills paid more than they wanted to have them paid. I'm not lying, I'm being truthful. And because I wanted to see everybody happy. But you know what? The world is not fair. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm going to start reading in Deuteronomy. And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And if you read from 28, it talks about where Moses, he's exhorting the children of Israel. I think in Deuteronomy, he talks about all the curses and all the blessings. And this is under the old covenant. So we're not really talking about the old covenant, but the new covenant is basically the same as the old covenant, other than Jesus abolished sin when he died on the cross for us, and his blood was shed for the remission of our sins, because keeping the law under the old law, remember he said, I've set before you, you know, these commandments, and if you keep them, everything is going to be well with you. Well, people couldn't keep them. That was the problem. Nobody could keep them. They might not, you know, commit adultery. They might not kill. They might not steal. But they might think they're better than somebody else. And so now, and the Bible says in James, if you're going to live by the law, and you break one of them, you've broken them all. Right? So under the law, really nobody could ever really get there to heaven, because nobody was perfect. And nobody could keep everything that was in the commands, right? You know, even Jesus even made it even worse, because Jesus says, you know, the law says, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery, right? But he said, I say, if you even look on a woman and lust after her in your heart, where nobody even knows, you've already done it. So nobody could. We're all done. Right? I mean, just when you think about it, right? Because that's what the Bible says. Why did he say that? Because he put it in such a place that you need to know that without him, you're done. Because you can't. That's why we need Jesus. See, Jesus didn't come to make you weird or to make you crazy. He came to add to your life. And at the end of this life, there's another life, and it's called heaven. And with Jesus, we get there. And you know that. But on this earth while you're here, what is the people, he says to you, I'm going to read this. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, I'm going to just read it. I'm going to take my time, because I got to go to two or three different spots. And he says, I call heaven to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore choose life, that both they and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them the land. So the one thing I wanted to say is, what did he say here? You must choose what? Life. We know that in John, turn over here, in John 10, I'm gonna read it to you. You don't have to turn there. Oh, Michael always sometimes puts it up on the board. But John 10:10, and it says this, because people, in order to receive from God, there has to be faith involved, right? You got to know that what the Bible says, because faith only begins where the will of God is known. And see, serving God isn't always bubbly. It's not always exciting. It's not always a thriller. But the Word of God will never, ever fail you, and it'll never change you. It'll change you, but it never changes. The Bible never changes. And see, we got communion today, and there's no better... The reason we have communion is because Jesus said when we come together, we're to do this in remembrance of Him, of what He did for us. And see, so faith always begins where the will of God is known, right? And so the Bible says here, and I'm getting at something, because people that should know better, they don't know. And that's why I was talking about this on Wednesday night a little bit. And it's just been in my heart. And I just want to explain it. The Bible says here in John 10:10, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." So who is the one that is the taker? Who's the one that's trying to kill, steal, and to destroy people's lives? It's the devil. So in order to have faith in God for a good life in any area, you got to know one thing. You have to know this one thing, that God came that you might have life, and He wants you to have it more abundantly. And the devil, see, a lot of people don't even believe in the devil. But you... And a lot of people don't believe in sin. A lot of people don't believe in this. And I'm not here to change people's lives, but I want to tell you that there's a lot of... You don't have to look very far to see what the enemy's doing, destroying lives, destroying families, destroying kids. What he's out just to destroy your lives. And what do we do as Christians? Right? What do we as Christians do to not allow our lives to be destroyed? We take the Word of God and we believe it, right? Because Jesus said that you can have life and have it more abundantly. But the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. How do we as God... So the first thing we got to do is you got to know that God is a good God, and it's the enemy that's bringing destruction in the earth. You have to know that. Because if you think that God is the one that's not helping you, then you're never going to be able to believe, because faith begins where the will of God is known. You're never going to have confidence that God's a good God, right? It's just like a dog, right? Have you ever had a dog? I've seen people with dogs, and I'm not being smart. I'm being truthful. I had a friend of mine that used to beat his dog. I don't mean beat it, but every time the dog would do something bad, he'd just hoof it. And all of a sudden, after a while, he'd call the dog when he wasn't mad, and the dog wouldn't want to come to him. And then the dog would take off, and then he'd get mad, and then when he got a hold of the dog, he'd boot it again. So if you think that God is the one booting you and doing all the wrong stuff, how are you ever going to have faith in God that He's a good God? Because see, people don't seem to know or recognize who is the giver of life and who is not, because everybody blames God for everything. Well, I want to tell you something. The Bible says, if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those that ask? Right? So me as a dad, I'm certainly not going to do anything to hurt my children. Am I? No, I certainly wouldn't. And if He calls me evil in comparison to Him, He's a good God. So if you're going to receive from God, you got to know that God is a good God. You have to know that. What are you laughing at me for? I'm serious. You got to know, and you got to know that the enemy is out to destroy your life. And the Bible says, resist the enemy, or resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So The Bible says here that God is a good God. So now how do we receive from God? Well, when I was young, because see, I didn't learn a lot of this from preaching the Bible in Bible school for many years. I learned most of this stuff that is in the Bible from growing up with my children and learning and experiences in my life. Like I remember, I didn't really know anything about faith because how do you receive from God? You receive God through faith. Because you don't see God. See, I didn't see God. When I gave my life to Jesus, I was in a really bad spot. And I called out to God because it was my last resort. It wasn't because I loved God or anything. It was just that I tried everything else and I wasn't really happy. And I called out to God and He came into my life. And all of a sudden, because I believed and put my faith in God and said, would you please come in? Remember Jesus said, I stand at the door at your heart. I stand at your life and I'm knocking. If anyone will open the door, I'll come in. See, He's waiting. See, God did not make you robots. And that's what you need to know. And that's what I want to talk about today. God didn't make us a robot. You have a free will. That's why He said right from day one, He says, I've set before you life and death. Choose. So who has got to choose life? Who has got to choose the life? We do. So you got to choose to do the right things. And it's not a works-oriented thing. Because see, Jesus paid the price. Salvation is a free gift. Anybody that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you want to receive from God and receive the promises of God that are yes and amen, you've got to do what the Bible says. You have to receive from God. You've got to stand against. And see, the reason so many Christians and so many Christians' lives aren't everything that God wants them to be, or they don't think they can, is because they're not choosing life. They're still born again. And see, my heart is that people receive from God fully. And that's why I'm talking about this. Because see, unless you choose life, you're not going to receive life. You're born again, but you don't want to be born again and live a miserable life, right? Do you? No. Or I don't anyways. I want to get the most out of the Bible. So turn with me to Mark 11. And I know I'm not like I usually am. But I'm trying to take the time because I want people to realize in Mark 11, this is how you receive from God. Remember Jesus said, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Those that come to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Right? What did Mark 11 says, I got to get there first. Because God has simply blessed our lives. Like, I remember, and see, this is what I'm talking about. I had a bad accident when I was young. On a three-wheeler. I was with actually Craig Halliday. And I crushed my ankle, broke both tibia and fibula on my leg. And I bent my spine. I went head first about 50 or 60 miles an hour. As fast as whatever that bike would do was going wide open. And then there was a hairpin corner like that. And there's no way I could make it. And I just went straight into a rock cut. I bailed off the. I didn't want to hit the rock cut with the. So it was a 250 or something, big red three-wheeler. As fast as the thing would go. And there's no way I'd get around the corner. And I don't know what would cause me to go so fast, but that's just who I was. And I bailed off the three-wheeler because I knew I was going into the rock cut. And I hit it head first, broke my helmet, and it bent my spine. But then the three-wheeler came in behind me and crushed my leg. That's what broke my leg. And I had to go to a chiropractor, and you know this, and I'm just saying this. And so when I was 19 years old, my back was terrible because I had to go to a chiropractor three times a week, right, after that, four times a week, and I was in back pain all the time. I actually wore a back brace. And back then, I was allergic to pretty much anything that I carried an EpiPen with me. And I want people to realize this. This is why I'm sharing about this. Is because, so I got born again, and I was born again. And I was completely fulfilled inside me. That, what I was looking for my whole life, was now fulfilled. But I still had a bent spine. I still was allergic to, I couldn't go to people's places. I couldn't go to farms. Because every time I remember one of the dreams I had was a boy, and I'm not sharing my testimony, but this, I remember even to this day, was to be a cowboy. And I remember that I went to a farm and the Calgary Stampede, because my mom and dad knew how much I loved farms and horses and that stuff as a little boy. And I remember I walked in there. I wasn't even near. I was in the stands. And because all the horses were in there, my eyes shut and I couldn't breathe, and they had to get me out of there. And my dream of being a cowboy went in the toilet. Because a cowboy without a horse isn't much of a cowboy, right? And so I was allergic to this stuff. So now I'm born again. And this is where we're at, right? This is where people are at. You're born again, but if you some people that are messed up mentally, when they get born again, they're still messed up mentally after they're born again. Because it's not your brain that gets born again, it's your heart. It's your spirit, right? Is that right? Well, how do you receive? So I was born again, and I had peace inside. What are you laughing at? You're funny. And so I'm born again, and this is exactly what I'm talking about right now. I was born again, but I still had a bent spine. I still had problems in my body. I still had Ventolin. Taking Ventolin every day, like an inhaler. I had an EpiPen, but I got peace. So now what? So it was through, actually, that I really began to believe God was through Kylie, my daughter, when she started to believe God for that horse. And I'm not going to tell that story, but she wanted a horse. I wasn't going to buy her a horse because I was allergic to horses. But I never wanted to tell my kids I was allergic to horses. So I just said, I'm not buying a horse, but if you want a horse, you believe God for a horse, and you get a horse on your own. Anyways, she started to believe in God for 3 years. She prayed. She told everybody she was getting a horse. 2 years? Sorry, not 3 years, 2 years. And I'm in Oklahoma. Over 2 years later, some waitress at a restaurant that I've never been in before or never seen before comes up to me and says to me, and I didn't even think that God would answer a prayer. Like, I didn't, that's where I'm saying, that's how I learned. I learned that she was without a horse. I didn't want no horse. Ever. She prayed. She told everybody she was getting a horse. Because the Bible says to call those things as be not as they. When you pray, it's just like faith. When you ask Jesus into your heart, you wake up in the morning and you stub your toe, you don't feel saved. You're like, right? But you're still born again. Your feelings have got nothing to do with being born again, or even what you say wrong. Maybe it doesn't have anything with being born again. It's just not a good reflection of what's inside. It's just what's in your mind, right? And what's in your feelings. And so I end up in Tulsa, Oklahoma with my dad, and we're in a restaurant, and a lady comes up to me and says, do you have kids? And without me telling the whole story, And I said, yeah, I have kids. And she said, the Lord just told me to give your kids a horse. And I started to cry because I'm thinking, what am I going to do with a horse? True story. Like, it blew me away at the time. When I say blew me away, like, I just couldn't believe that God would hear a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old or a 3-year-old or whatever she was. And that somebody that had never even seen me, God spoke to them to give my kids a horse. And I didn't talk farm with them. We weren't talking anything with them. Josh, you were there, weren't you? And I'm like, you got to be joking. Like, God's really real? He'll actually answer a prayer? Like, that way? I knew he would. You pray, and if God wants to do touch you, you know, he will. And if he doesn't, he won't. And, like, that's the way I sort of thought, right? Because that's the way we grew up. That God, you know, if you're a good person and you go to church and God will help. Do you know that if you never go to church, he'll still answer your prayer if you believe him? Because he doesn't answer your prayers because you're a good person or a bad person. Because you're in right standing with God because of Jesus, not because of what you did. Because see, what you do wasn't good enough. That's why Jesus had to come. Because what did he say here? I know I'm in Mark 11, and we're going to go there. But just let me read over here. I'm trying to just get something out of my heart, and I don't have any notes. So I'm just... But it says here in Hebrews chapter 9, it says, but in verse 11, I just want to read this. But it says here, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by this his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. See, because the blood of goats was, remember, every year the priest would have to go and kill an animal, and the blood of the priest, of the animal, would cover their sins, but it would never take it away. But Jesus, once he shed his blood, he went on the cross, once he dealt with all your sin in mankind. And he said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, because see, the old covenant wasn't good enough. So you could be born again and still be far from perfect. And it's not what you've done that keeps you born again. It's what he's done that you're born again. But it's what you do once you're born again is how you receive from God. And that's what I'm talking about. Because see, if you think that God answers your prayer because you've gone to church or you haven't gone to church or you've been perfect or you haven't been perfect, none of us would receive from God because I'm not perfect. And you're not perfect. The only reason we can receive from God is because he said he set us in the family. Just like my kids. Whether I want it, and I do want it, but whether I want it or I don't want it, they're my family. They're heirs of mine. Right? They're my heirs. And so when I die, they get what I got. Whether I want it or not. I know you can have a will and you can write a testament. They don't mean anything. Because I know lots of people that make wills, and then the people go to court and they fight and it all gets changed anyways. But they're my heirs. And see, you're God's heirs. When you receive Jesus, you're his kids. Regardless of what you do in life after that, because if you can't work your way to God, right? You can't work your way to God. You can't work your way away from God. I'm not saying once saved, always saved, because I believe you can. The same way you receive from God is, Lord, you know what? I'm in a mess. Like, I'm a good guy, but I'm without you, and I need you. So, Father, come into my life. I'm asking you, Jesus, to be a part of my life. He'll come in. That's what he said. I stand at the door and I knock. If anybody will open the door, he'll come in. And he's there. He's there. And that's not because of what you did. Do you understand? It's not because of what you did. It's because of what He did at the cross. And that's why we have communion, because of what He did. So every time we come to communion, we come and we say, Father, thank You so much. Because if it was based on my righteousness, I couldn't make her. But thank You for shedding Your blood once and for all. He says, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled on unclean sanctified to purifying of the flesh, how much more shall Christ's blood, or shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from a dead works to serve a living God. See, that's what happened in one moment. You went from a dead to life by just simply believing in Him. But now I'm born again because of what He did. I want people to know that. If you've thought bad or you've done wrong or you haven't been to church or you haven't done this and you receive Jesus, you're just like somebody that served God for 40 years because we're all on the same playing field. But once you get born again, then it's up to you to receive from God. So here's Kylie, and I learned this, that God would answer a prayer. Here's a little girl that believed God, got this horse. I was still allergic to horses. I got this thing home. And I'll never forget it. Look, John Jr., he's not here this week. And John Jr. came up to me and said, Daddy, because I couldn't go near the horse because my... true story. Is that not right, Julie? My eyes, like, just I just couldn't breathe. I don't know if you've ever been allergic to things, but it's not fun. And my son came up to me and he said to me, Daddy, why don't you go near the horse? And I lied to my son. I said, because I don't like horses. And he said, no, Daddy, we love this horse. How come you won't go near this horse? And I said, well, honey, or Johnny. I wouldn't have called him honey, I can tell you. I said, John, I said, I'm allergic to horses. And he didn't know what that meant. He was 3 years old. Is that right? And he said, and I said, that means I can't be around. When I go around a horse, my eyes breathe. And he looked up at me. You know, the Bible says, if you come to God like a child, what's a child do? He just believes. You tell your son that you'll bring him an ice cream cone when you come home from Peterborough. They don't come and say, Daddy, Daddy, did you really do it when you come home? They just come. They just come when you come home and they rip the door open and say, where's the ice cream? Because they believe you. And he says to me, well, why don't you pray? And this is how I begin to learn that I could talk to God and He would hear and answer prayers. And I went to look at Him like, what are you talking about praying? And I went to explain to Him why I was like this. Well, Daddy's been like this since he was your age. Like, it was something I had my whole life. And he said, this ain't working. At 3 years old. Was he 3 or 4? And he just ignored what I said because I said, well, Daddy's had this his whole life. And he said, let me pray. And John Jr. put his hand on my knee and he said, Jesus, please fix my daddy. And you know what? God healed me. That I could go around horses. I was still allergic to everything else other than horses because God honored my son's faith. But over time, I realized that God was a good God and the devil was a bad devil. And God wanted to do good things in our lives. And he actually already paid for it. But it was up to me to receive. And so from that point on, from that horse, I began to believe God for things that I desired in life. Like happiness. Like to be able to pay our bills. Just for my body. And you know that today, people made fun of me. Lots of people have made fun of me. You name it and claim it. You just want what God's got. You just want money. And you're right, I do. Because it's a lot funner to pay your bills than not pay your bills. It's a lot nicer to be able to give your kids stuff than not be able to give them kids stuff. Because I wasn't able to give our kids, the older kids, stuff. Then I'm able to give the younger kids stuff. But we still love them. But I wasn't willing to stay where I was. I just started believing God and people started making fun of me. I had people mock me because I was believing God for healing. I had people make fun of me because I was believing God to be able to be able to do what I can do today by be a blessing to people. And I didn't care what people said anymore because I knew if it was going to be, it was going to be up to me. See, everybody blames God now. That's why I'm like this, or that's why this is why this. Salvation's free. And he laid it all out on the table. And if you want to receive from God, you got to come boldly to the throne of grace, receive mercy, and believe it. And over a process of time, I haven't went to a chiropractor in 20 years. I work like I do when I was back 14 before I had the accident. I lift up, like Josh and me, a couple weeks ago, lifted up logs up in the back of my truck that were, I would say, 350 pounds. It was all we could do to grab them, one at each end, because I took my excavator already home and I forgot the logs were still there. And when I drove back down to, all the way to Belleville, I saw the pile of logs and I thought, oh, how am I going to get them on my truck to get them out of here? And I said, hey, Josh, he says, can we not just roll them on the trailer? I said, I got to take my other machine home. And I already sodded the lawn, so I couldn't take my skid steer and drive across the sod and put a chain around them. I said, we're going to have to lift them. And he just looked at me because there were logs that were in the water. We did a shoreline, and they were in the Bay of Quinte. And you know what a log, they were only this big around, but they'd been in the water. And they were like, Josh, we didn't have a chainsaw. Because he cut them already up in like 8 to 12 foot lengths. And they were heavy. And I just reached out. I said, let's just do her. And I just reached out. He grabbed one end. I grabbed the other. And we were like, and then one of them, we had to put his end down. I said, come over and help me put our end up over. Smart. And then get it higher because they were so high. I said, now put it in. And then the weight of it made this end. I don't know what all that's called, but, and you know what? I'm fine. Do you know that I'm not allergic to anything? Do you know that we have a cat in our house? A cat, a real cat. And I could never even be around cats. Do you know I'm 48 years old? And I'm as healthier today than I've ever been. I'm strong. I get up in the morning. I work all day long. I work all night. I come home at 10 o'clock and I get up again in the morning. And I'm healthy. And I wasn't healthy. My back doesn't bother me. I work all the time. Why? Because I took it. And if you want things from God, you got to take it. Can we have the people come and just do this? Because I don't want to go on past 12 o'clock because people can only sit so long anyways. If you want to receive from God, you guys just go ahead and do that and I'll keep talking. You got to take it. You have to. And there's no better time of taking it than when we're doing communion, right? Don't be sorry. Thank you, man. Because if you want to receive from God, you've got to take it. Now, I want to read this. I went to Hebrews to show you what Jesus did. Like, he paid the price for your sin. He paid the price so we could receive from God. And everybody I've ever prayed for, I've seen 100% healed or... No, I haven't. And I don't understand this, but I do understand one thing. That God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you're ever going to receive from God, you must believe that. Because if you don't believe that, you're going to have a hard time receiving from anything. Because God's good, and who's bad? Who came to steal? Who came to destroy? Who came to ruin lives? Who came to add to your life? God did. So Mark 11 says this. And I know I was already there once and I never read it out of it. But I'm going to read it just while they're doing communion. Mark 11. And you know this, and I don't have time to go into this, where Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and the fig tree, he just spoke to the fig tree in the morning, and that night, or in the evening, they came by, and because there was no figs on it, so Jesus said, nobody's going to eat fruit from this fig tree forever. But they didn't see it dying, the fig tree, because they wouldn't have been shocked that evening when they came back and they said, Jesus, the fig tree which you cursed or you spoke to, or the next day, it's really withered away. And Jesus turned to them and he said, you have faith in God. And then he says this, and I know that you said this. So Jesus turned and he said, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And this is what I want to say to you. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. So what do you have to have? You have to have three things here. You got to have a desire, right? You got to pray. And what's the third thing? You got to believe. So you got to have a desire. What's your desire? Well, my desire a long time ago was to have a wife, a good one. One that I could enjoy, like my mom and dad. And what I mean by that, my mom and dad were happy. I didn't want just a good-looking woman. I wanted a nice one. I wanted somebody that we could be happy and live our life out and enjoy one another. And I asked God for a nice wife and a good looking one. And I got that. And I began to ask God for things in my life. And God stood beyond in my life what I've asked him. Does God love me more than you? He does not. God loves us all the same. I'm not sure why some people receive and some people don't. But I know this. The Bible said if you have a desire and you believe, when you pray, you will receive. I think I can say this. I believe the reason many don't receive is because in the time from believing and receiving, it doesn't have a time limit in there. And I think that's why I think people get weary in doing right. And they give up. In that, from the time you desire, you pray, you receive or believe. And then the Bible says you will receive. But it doesn't say in 1 month or 30 days or 2 years or three. I was 7 years from the time I started to believe God and say, thank you, Jesus, for healing my back, that I actually received it. But I was, that's the kind of person I am. That I'm a guy that I'll just do something and I'll just do it. Because I know that it's not on God's end. I know that it's on my end. So I got to do my part. Me being a good person doesn't do it. Believing is what does it. That's how we receive from God, is through faith. That's how we get born again. We don't see God, but we believe there is a God. But when you ask Him into your life, you begin to see the results of God in your life by how your nature changes. How He begins to give you wisdom. How He'll add to your life. Like, I mean, I used to be very racist, and you know that because I've said that. Just growing up here, there was only us white people up here, and then there started to be a few more, and I just growing up, when I got born again, God gave me a heart. Just changed my heart. I love people. I didn't care what color they were. You see the fruit of God in your life. But you got to believe it first, then you see it. Well, it's the same with healing or anything in the Bible. You got to believe it. And you got to be fully persuaded that God is who He said He is. And you can't allow anything else to happen. You just stick with it. And if you'll stick with it, you'll see the results of it in your life. And that's why the Bible says, don't get weary in doing well. In due season, you will reap if you faint not. I think the problem is, in the middle of believing and receiving is where people get weary. And then they begin to think, well, maybe God doesn't want that. Or maybe God's got better plans. I want to tell you this, and I'll close. God loves you so much, and He wants more for you than you want for yourself. He wants good for you. The Bible says, I got plans for good and not for evil, to give you an expected end. God's got good things for His kids. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, you know, it was really neat this morning because we're having communion. I'm not talking about going to church, because going to church don't make you a Christian. I'm not talking about being a good person, because being a good person doesn't make you a Christian. Being a bad person doesn't make you not a Christian. Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone will open the door, I'll come in. That's how this whole experience with God starts, is by you believing that Jesus died on the cross for you and He wants to come into your life. If you've never did that, it's sort of neat, because my little girl was on my lap today, Joy. when Julie was doing Sunday school or whatever we call it in the morning. Sunday school for big people. And Julia was, she just give a, what do you call it? An altar call, sort of, like to let people know how to get born again, how to receive Jesus. And she said, just speak after me. So after she said it, Joy was saying it. And she just probably gets born again every week. But this is the first time she sat on my lap and she just said it and said, thank you, Jesus, for coming in my heart. And isn't that special?
Yes, it is.
But that's how you get born again. So I'm going to say a prayer here because we're also on the radio. And if you've never given your heart to Jesus, that's the most important thing you'll ever do in life. All you got to do, the Bible says you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. So just say, Lord, you can just say this to yourself. You don't have to say it out loud, but if you want to say it out loud, you can. But just say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to fill every void. Make me into the person you want me to be. And I will serve you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Father, you said this cup and this bread, it represents your blood and your body, which was broken for us. You said when we come together to do this in remembrance of you, Lord, we know that we can't work our way to God. And we know that if we've messed up, it doesn't matter. You love us. I don't kick my kids out because they make a mistake. And you don't kick us out because we make a mistake. Father, I thank you that you took the stripes on your back for our healing. You were punished. You were tormented. Father God, we're here to say thank you. We received this bread just in simple remembrance of what you did for us. We're here to say thank you. Father, this cup, it represents the blood that shed and fell from you. That blood covered our sins. Where the blood of goats and bulls covered it for a year, then we had to do it all over again. You said it covered it forever. Lord, thank you. We receive this with thanksgiving. We thank you for being a good God. We love you, Lord. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Father God, I'm asking you then. Bless each and every one as we go from here. That you keep them. That you give wisdom. Lord, that you bless the giver here. Father, I thank you and I praise you for it. I thank you for our church family. I thank you got good things for them. And I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to just say this because I don't want people to think that my young lad, we're away for the next 2 weeks. And people come, I need you to still come to church, like if you're around. I just let you know so people don't think I'm gone. I have, they, my son had two spring tournaments, and they're both week back to back, Montreal and in Kingston. So I'm going with my son, and then we're done for the summer. So. I am.
I have a friend who's in the Kingston Hospital.
Yeah.
He got run over by a backhoe.
Wow.
And
anyways. Thank you. Happy birthday, buddy.
Story, maybe tell you a pop blessing there.
Okay.
Bring back a memory.
All right.
He's still got feeling in his leg. They're waiting for it. This happened like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And if the feeling stops, they'll have to amputate.
Wow.
But he still has feeling in his legs. In his toes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Anyways, if you have time, I might ask if you can go down to...
Ask, tell him though first, because I don't want him to think... Some people don't want ministers coming.
Oh no, he's... Oh no, they're...
Oh, Christians.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, they've been lifted up.
Okay.
You know, time in the hospital just gets so lonely. And, you know, sitting alone, and I can't imagine it.
No.
But just to know that there's people praying for
it. Yeah. Y'all.